What's the 411? You tuned in to 411 Teen. 411 Teen is a weekly program for teens, families, and other interested folks. 411 Teen provides a forum to examine and discuss various issues and events that confront, intersect, and sometimes interrupt our daily lives. I'm Dr. Liz Holyfield, and joining me here at the roundtable, I welcome students from Sale High School. I welcome Gavin Densby. He is in the ninth grade, and his thing is reading, rowing, and Star Trek.
Hello.
Okay. Mila Humphreys. Her things are bands and TV shows, and she's in the 11th grade.
Hello.
Glad to have you. Jeremy Adams. Jeremy is into taking selfies, and he's in the 11th grade, and his interests are divas, movies, and Zodiac.
Hi.
And Savannah Burris. Savannah is a senior this year. We're going to miss her. She's put in a lot of hours here. Her thing, cats, reading, and baking.
Hi, guys. Glad to be back. And it was 13 and a half hours last year.
Wow. We are really glad to have you, and we appreciate you coming. Most scientists today believe we are witnessing a mass extinction. Extinction rates are up to 10,000 times higher than they were before humans appeared. This is occurring across all sorts of different groups. We're also seeing a common source of this extinction. This common source is us. Because of human activity, the Earth is now changing very fast. The recent killing of Cecil the lion by an American trophy hunter renewed the debate on what we should and should not do to preserve African wildlife. Cecil, a 13-year-old lion, was lured from a protected area in a national park where a dentist from Minnesota paid $50,000 for a chance to kill an African lion. Reportedly, he tracked and fatally shot the lion with a rifle. How do you feel about this?
It's despicable.
Okay.
You know, it's killing lions is, first of all, illegal. So the fact that he did this and then went and told everybody raises the question of why is nothing done about that? And killing big game animals like that, like lions, most of the time they will trank them first so that there's no fight. They can't run away. And the lions also don't fight back because they're not afraid of the humans.
You can't fight a bullet.
Yeah.
You know, I mean,
but they don't see humans as a threat most of the time because if they're on preserves,
mm-hmm.
they don't see humans as threats.
Well, now, see, he was on this preserve, but he was lured off of the
mm-hmm.
preserve. So reportedly what the dentist was doing was legal because you can pay X amount of dollars and go. But they lured him off, and that's how he got shot.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Mila?
I just think it's kind of upsetting because, like, these animals, like, obviously they didn't want to die. I mean, I don't know what animal wants to.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't see why you'd brag to, like, your friends or something that you killed another living being.
Well, it's called trophy killing, mm-hmm. and it's a big deal among hunters. And, I mean, you go after big game,
mm-hmm.
and then you have there are the trophy. You may have the lion's head and the lion's skin as a rug in your house or the rhinoceros head, so that's what it's all about.
But okay. They're endangered species most of the time. When the trophy hunting, for most of the time, they hunt endangered species.
Mm-hmm.
That
mm-hmm.
makes it illegal, and that means they should be arrested for it, but they're not.
Well, it depends. No, they aren't. See, they aren't. It depends on where you're at. I mean, but we'll get back to that. You raised some good points. How do you feel about it, Jeremy? What's going on? Where do you sit on all of this?
I just don't see how people can, like, pay money to kill an animal. Like, animals are here just like we are here. I don't see how it's right to just kill another living life. And it's just wrong to me in my eyes.
It's sport.
Yeah.
I mean, you know.
I just don't see how people can take enjoyment in that.
Well, I mean, I guess they really revel in having these, they collect, you know, these trophies.
But then they just sit around, and what happens to them after you die? Then
I think the whole trophy hunting thing mm-hmm. is completely wrong and messed up. But like, I know people are going to raise the issue of just hunting in general, and I know there's plenty of people that hunt and actually use what they hunt. Like if you hunt deer, I know people hunt deer. They mm-hmm. use they the deer it. Meat. Mm-hmm. They use the leather. They use every part of it. And then, you know, I find that something acceptable because it's different. You know, you're not just killing it to kill it. You're killing it for survival.
Mm-hmm. I think what's funny is that, like, humans will kill animals who have, I feel like, more purpose. Like, you know, lions are supposed to keep the rates of like other animals down and stuff, but I feel like us humans are just killing like everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
I think this whole thing is pretty despicable, especially not just because of the illegality of it. If it was legal, I don't see why you would still kill the thing because you have no reason to kill it. It's not hurting anybody. It's not doing anything wrong.
Well, they have a reason they're collecting. I'm just I'm presenting this other side to mm-hmm. you because, you know, all of you are saying, oh, you can't understand it and whatever. But I'm just trying to represent them, okay? And it's a sport, just like hunting ducks or whatever, only it's much bigger, and they're paying for it. So that's the flip side of it, okay? What's the best way then, if we're looking at this, in your opinion, what's the best way to preserve Africa's wildlife? I mean, some of the U.S. airlines have announced that they would no longer transport big game trophies like lions and stuff. They wouldn't mm-hmm. bring them back. So if they go over there and kill them, they have to leave them there.
Yeah, there no trophy for you. There mm-hmm. you go. You pay
unless they
50.
Go by boat.
Yeah.
Oh,
but
that's true.
True, but it's so expensive to have things.
But if you pay $50,000 yeah. to bring it home by boat is not going to
yeah.
be a deterrent.
I just, like, when another human gets killed, it's like it's on the news and everyone cares about it. And then it's like.
Sometimes.
Sometimes. But, you know, people depending usually feel like some. Sympathy towards other humans. But when it's like, or like dogs and cats, sometimes people care. But it's like, if it's like
sometimes,
a deer.
It seems like to me people care more about dogs and cats than they do about some humans.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
For
yeah.
sure.
Yeah.
Some humans in their lifetime, they just act so bad about mm-hmm. something that mm-hmm. people don't care when they die.
They don't care.
Which is sad and tragic.
I think, though, back to the topic, people have a hard time connecting with animals they've never encountered. You know, people can, you know, connect with cats and dogs and the sad stories because mm-hmm. everybody's met a cat. Everybody's met a dog. Everybody's petted one, you know, but not everybody's met a lion and have petted it or a rhino or, you know, things like that. And even if you see them in a zoo, it's still something completely
different.
It's nothing
like seeing them in the wild.
Yeah.
I've seen them in the wild. It's nothing. It's just like breathtaking to really see them
in their natural,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can't imagine. Well, with this Dennis, you know what happened with him. I mean, he says he thought it was legal. But he received death threats. He had to close his office for a while because his office was surrounded by protesters. And that's what he had to pay for it, in addition to, you know, the monetary. But trophy hunting may be real cruel, and we think of it as being real tasteless sport. But many wildlife experts say that, you know, if it's regulated, it helps to preserve the wildlife by generating money for a conservation program. So that's another side to it.
But that's the thing is, how do you regulate it when a lot of the trophy hunting is done on illegal animals or animals that are illegal to mm-hmm. hunt and are endangered? And then because they're endangered, they don't allow hunting, and therefore you can't regulate it. So doing that, it's you can't.
I saw a report on this in a mm-hmm. TV show that kind of displayed how it did work. A trophy hunter would go to the government, and the government would say that they would give him permission to shoot or kill one of the endangered animals that is practically useless. It can't breed, or it is dangerous. So they say,
okay,
you can kill this guy because it's a threat. Right.
Mm-hmm.
But you are not allowed to kill non-threatening animals.
Yeah, and
they use this money to make sure that these animals are taken care of if they're on private land.
Well, that's a good point, because the International Fund for Animal Welfare says this killing is not necessary. You said it, all they say is it's just an additional threat. And Africa has lost 60% of the large wildlife in 40 years. Can you imagine that? 60%.
This
is due to poaching, though. The ivory tusks of the rhino and the elephants bring in $20 billion a year. How do you suggest we address this poaching?
Well, I know a lot of nonprofits are going and they're doing stuff like for wild elephants and rhinos, they're tranking them. And then mm-hmm. while they're unconscious, they're like dyeing their tusks and their horns with the same dye that they use for money. So it's non-toxic. Mm-hmm. It's completely harmless to them. But it dyes it pink and it makes the tusk worthless to the poachers, because the whole thing about the tusk is it's supposed to be ivory. And it's,
right.
you know, it's supposed to be, you know, if it's any other color, it's useless.
Right. Right. And that is the way to go. I mean, that's one of the ways.
Another thing is harvesting of the tusks. Like, okay, the tusk and the horns are made out of the same thing that fingernails are made of. And they grow back.
Right.
So if you go and you cut off a rhino's horn without, like, cutting it all the way to the bone, which kills it, you know, the rhino can then grow its horn back in 2 years, and then it's just fine.
Well, if they, I mean, like, can you imagine if someone put you to sleep and cut off all your fingernails? Like, that'd be weird, and you'd feel like, I mean, come on. And, yeah. like, they need their horns to, like, survive.
Yeah, but they don't cut off the entire horn.
They don't cut off that. That's it. She's right. Yeah, you don't cut off the entire horn. You cut it down to a certain little, what they call, like, the bed of it, I think.
Yeah.
And you don't damage that part. And if you cut it off from there, then it can regenerate and grow another one.
So it's basically, if you do it correctly.
But if it's not, like, sharp enough, I feel like it's not useful.
Well, the horns, like, honestly, for the rhinos, everybody talks about, like, that's their protection and all. But it's honestly not, because of where it's positioned. Mm-hmm. Like, for most animals, they can't use that as protection against it. So
it's more for show, I would think.
Yeah.
It's for mating. Many poachers are inexperienced anyway, so if they are trying not to mm-hmm. kill them, they probably just did it by accident.
Well, the poachers tend to just kill them. They don't even deal with trying to do it. You're tuned in to 411 Teen, and this hour we are looking at animals versus humans. We're going to take a break, but we'll return shortly. If you're just tuning in, the program is 411 Teen. I am Dr. Liz Hollyfield, and I have students from Sale High School, and this hour we are looking at animals versus humans. One thing that scientists have noted is that the habitat loss is the biggest threat. And by that, I'm referring to, like, cities that are expanding or the rural population that are kind of pushing animals out. And they say that this expansion is causing a clash with the wildlife. Okay, so that's another component that we didn't even talk about. And lions are ranked as vulnerable now. And that is below endangered and critically endangered. So they're getting worse. Illegal hunting fueled by global appetite for the ivory has put Africa's elephants at a risk and the rhinos at a risk. The illegal trade has been more than doubled since 2001 and is pushing Africa's elephants into extinction. President Obama says that probably in his lifetime, we will risk losing wild elephants. Can you imagine that?
That's
almost
unthinkable.
Hard to believe. Yeah.
You know,
grew up, like, having the elephant cards, you know, like, yeah. the letter mm-hmm. E goes with elephant. And, mm-hmm. like, and at all least right. they're supposed to be gone in at least 10 years.
10 to 15 years. Right.
Yeah.
Right.
10
to
15 years. We're about 20.
Oh, at the rate that we're going.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to disappear in our lifetime at the rate that we're going, and the thought honestly makes me want to cry.
It is sad. It's according to the wildlife. Yeah, according to Wildlife Conservation Society, 96 African elephants are killed for their tusks each day. okay, on the average. In 2012, 35,000 were killed. That's a lot.
I'm gonna go cry now.
And well, yeah. Something that I know that sparked it, it was actually condoned by the government for the longest time, elephant hunting, because it was believed that they were eating too much of the natural bush vegetation the cattle used to eat. And then so they condoned the killing of elephants to try to counteract that. And then so they just needlessly would kill thousands of elephants, and that was finally stopped. But by the time that it stopped, it had just gotten into it had gotten into fashion,
right.
Popularity.
Plus, the ivory is known as white gold. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the term they use. But well, you know, we've had all these ineffective regulations that have allowed the poaching to just kind of flourish. That's what's happening. Mm-hmm. A lot of them are not. It's really not the hunters. I mean, yes, we do have the Dr. Palmers here and there, but it's the poaching that is happening. These folks are going in, they're poaching these animals, they're luring them. One of the articles I read, they talked about putting cyanide in the watering holes.
Oh, my God.
And
my
so
God.
Just think, anything that drinks out of that watering hole.
It's just dead.
It's dead.
That watering hole is poisoned, and then it's probably connected to something, and that poisons everything downstream from it.
Mm-hmm.
And it could also kill humans.
Right. Anybody or anything.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's the rate that some people will go to.
Right. I had some stats here. The illegal trade of ivory fuels wars, enriching corporate corrupt armies, and jeopardizes wildlife tourism. Ivory sells for more than $1,000 a pound on the black market. Poachers poison watering holes. And that's where it's coming from. And a big demand for ivory is not just China, but the United States too.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. China's growing middle class has soaring demands. And earlier, it was believed that ivory, for example, if you ate with ivory chopsticks, then if they changed color, that would let you know that there was some poison in the food. This is way back when, okay? And it's estimated that up to 90% of China's ivory is illegal.
It's completely believable, because to get ivory, it's been illegal for not a long time,
yeah.
But it's been illegal for a couple decades, and mm-hmm. so that means any new ivory is going to be illegal.
Right. Yes, that's right. That's it.
What do we use it for?
Well, here we use it for piano keys and billiard balls and a lot of combs. Those are the things that the United States was known for with ivory. Mm-hmm. Okay, those three things. Okay. And in China, of course, ivory power has all types of things that it can do, from sore throat to skin lesions to clearing the skin. And it also was a status symbol. So, you know, and the Ivory Coast. The reason that it's named the Ivory Coast is there was an abundance of elephants, and they had tons of ivory, although they don't have any almost now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they should change their name.
Mm-hmm.
To be honest, the best way to go about getting the ivory off the black market is to make the ivory legal. And,
yeah.
you know, if you do that, then you can regulate it. And mm-hmm. if you regulate it, then that also does bring in money. And it's like when Florida tried to do the black bear hunting mm-hmm. because of our population was too big. Mm-hmm. You know, they sold so many permits to people, but that was shut down so quickly because people weren't following the rules on it. They were killing lactating bears and, you know, bears that were too young. And, you know, mm-hmm. it wasn't properly regulated. But I think, you know, there's a good chance that if it's legalized but properly regulated, that could raise a lot of money. Because people, mm-hmm. as we've just seen, people are willing to pay a lot of money mm-hmm. for these animals. And
Well, the U.S. and China, and this is historic, have agreed to share information and cooperate in banning ivory. And this is the first time that the U.S. and China have been in such an agreement.
That's really wonderful. That makes me very happy.
They never really agree on anything.
But, you know, the question is, what will it take to bring these elephants back from the brink? I mean, we're at a point where they really are going to be extinct and non-existent.
It take a lot.
Yeah, I mean, I think people just don't understand, like, they don't sympathize type of thing. Elephants are actually very intelligent creatures.
They never forget.
Yes. And
I thought that was a rumor.
No, they are.
Elephants, they never forget. They have done studies and shown that, like, an elephant, if you teach an elephant something or you, like, you introduce yourself to an elephant and come back 40 years later, the elephant will remember you. You know.
They live forever. But, you know, it takes them, their gestation period is 2 years.
Yeah.
So it would take a long time to recover from this.
Yeah.
And it's so hard because, like, the black market is, like, demanding it. So, like,
and so you have these animals that are right there. People who don't have money, have armies that need to fund. Not that I'm justifying it, but you see how it happens. So if they have a stockpile of ivory, they can sell that. They can get supplies that they need. I mean, so it's not like you can just immediately wipe out one little aspect because it's, you know, one leads on to another. Yeah, it's kind of a cycle.
I think something that they could do is, like I said, if there was a such thing as legal harvesting of the tusk, you know, like after an elephant dies, if they could legally harvest and sell the tusk, if, you know, like you could... Like I said earlier, if you saw off the tusk or the horns of the rhinos, it grows back.
But the problem is, you're right.
How do you do that and
well,
keep people
also
from killing?
Well, also, it's mainly poachers. And poachers aren't going to take time to do that.
Yeah.
It's easy but if to you kill the animal.
But if you legalize it, then that takes the poacher's whole job.
Right.
You know, yeah, if you have people legally doing it, then that makes it cheaper and that pushes poachers out of the business.
Right. It does.
It's like, it would be like if you legalize.
It's about money.
It's about money. So it's like when Colorado legalized marijuana, you know, that took a huge sector of Colorado's crime. Like, you know, everybody that was selling pot, they couldn't make any money off of it anymore because you could get it legally now.
Well, I don't know. That's the way to go. What do you all think? You look like you're thinking, Jeremy. What are you thinking?
I'm in a deep thought.
Yeah, you look
everything.
Like it.
So I'm trying to think about it from both, like, perspectives. And it was getting crazy in my mind.
Thinking about, like, why people even want animal, like, parts.
Have values to them. Like I've said, for example, in China, they felt like this ivory, the ivory power... Powder could do all kinds of things. It could clear up your skin. It was medicinal. I mean, it wasn't like they just wanted it to have... That's why I said, no, we're not talking about the trophy hunters now. We're talking about poachers who are selling this, and the populations that they're selling it to feel that this ivory has some value. Now, it's increased because you have a larger middle class in China, so that's why you're seeing the increased need for it. But they feel like ivory power does all kinds of things.
But it's like, would you rather have clear skin or all of the animals go extinct?
Good point.
I mean,
I guess they said they'd rather just go get proactive instead of...
Do they really even have that many animals in China because of the whole pollution thing?
But it's not in China that they're doing it. China is just one of the places that, you know, that they can sell it.
And what happens when the elephant dies? Like,
what are they going to do then? You know, but pointing that out to people, people don't realize how much of a threat this really is and how dire of a situation this is. They don't realize it because it's almost incomprehensible.
And we're removed from it. Even though we're talking about it, okay, and we really do have, you know, deep empathy for it, it's still we're removed from it.
Yeah, most people...
It's not in our environment.
Most people have never met a wild elephant, let alone a real elephant, because you have people who have never been to zoos and stuff like that and have seen them up close, let alone see one die from poaching.
Some people feel like they're just dumb animals. Now, you got to look at that aspect of it, too.
Yeah. Well, the circus, I know, didn't help for the longest time. You have people that were raised, you know, going to circuses and stuff and just seeing the animal or the elephants perform like dogs. You know, and everybody, you know, so they just think that, oh, it's just the same intelligence as a dog. It's just a big, dumb dog.
Dogs couldn't do some of that
stuff. My question is, like, what would happen to the food chain, like, of if the lions were, like, extinct, what would happen to the food chain and, like, the elephants if they got, like, extinct? That would cause, like, a natural thing.
Overpopulation of smaller
animals. Mm-hmm.
Because the elephants take
of events.
Yeah. That's always what happens.
Starvation.
Yeah. That's always. The elephants, they eat a lot of the bush grass and stuff like that, so they do consume a lot of food, but not as much as people were making it out to be because of their numbers.
Yeah.
So what would happen is all the smaller animals that are kind of kept in check by the elephants would then have a population boom, which would actually lead to a population decrease of other animals, and then there would be a population boom of predators because you had the smaller game animals. If you think about it, in one hand, the elephants and rhinos dying out would lead to a population boost of our larger game animal, like our larger prey animals. That's what would happen. But you would also be losing the elephants, which are beautiful creatures that deserve more life than humans.
It's so funny because it's like when you think about it, like if bees go extinct, we will
have in China.
They have.
China has no bees. They have to pollinate themselves. They have to collect the pollen from flowers, put them in little pouches, and go and basically paint flowers with, you know, paintbrushes. They have to paint the pollen on there to get anything to grow.
Mm-hmm. But if
that
like
that is so unnatural to me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then if humans go extinct, literally everything would be so much better in the world.
Yeah, because we've caused all these problems. Mm-hmm. And who knows? In years to come, we may become extinct.
Yeah. But we might kill everything else with us.
Yeah.
Who knows?
That's true, too. Yeah. What'd you say again?
I said I want to die before all this crisis happens, like with human extinction.
Oh, yeah. Let's die before I have to see all the animals. I honestly think would drive me to the brink.
I think that is closer than we may appreciate. You know what I mean?
We're running out of resources, and the animals are part of our resource.
Mm-hmm. And so we're pushing animals. That's why we're seeing bears and all this other stuff coming into civilization.
Like we just the other day had a bear spotted by FSU.
Right. We were just talking about that. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And what do you think caused that? Because it's pretty bizarre to see this is something someone pointed out to me, to see a full-grown bear. It wasn't a cub. A full-grown bear. And this was in a highly populated area. Mm-hmm. It wasn't like it was on the outskirts. It was up there off of, you know, behind, where was it? It was not far from FSU.
Yeah, it was it was on FSU campus.
Okay, so, what does
that
say?
I'm pretty sure, like, that must be, like, right off of Tennessee Street. Mm-hmm. That means that, you know, if the bears are coming so far into human population, not only are they getting desensitized to humans, meaning that they're at a danger risk.
Or maybe they're just hungry.
Well, that's what I'm saying, like greater risk to themselves, not to humans.
Mm-hmm.
Because humans are more likely to shoot to kill the bears like you said, it means that they're hungry. That means they're running out of resources. You know, and if they're running out of resources, it's most likely because of humans.
And we're pushing them because we're encroaching on where they were living, and we're building
houses, skyscrapers,
whatever.
You know, well, not skyscrapers in Tallahassee, but
no, but we are building.
Yeah,
the building is expanding, so that has something to do with it.
Yeah, my grandparents, they live in Killarn, and when they moved there, like 20-something years ago. One of the appeals of it was that they would be surrounded by wildlife. They used to wake up and be able to see the deer in the yard. And, you know, sometimes they would have bears near them and they'd have to be careful. And, you know, and now 20 years gone by, they've developed so much in that area because everybody wants to live in Killarn that they almost can take down their deer crossing signs. You're lucky to see a raccoon or an armadillo.
Oh, really?
Yeah. All you see is birds and squirrels because they can live anywhere. But it's so taken over by humans and are developing. When I was in elementary school, they put up a shopping center there that literally is unused. One business has ever been in there, maybe two, and they've all gone. Anything that's been put there has gone out of business. So it's just this great big shopping center and parking lot that's useless. And it took at least 3 acres of land. And I remember one morning in the line for car drop-off, just seeing these – it was like a whole herd of deers just standing in that empty field where the trees have been cut down, just looking around like, where's our home?
I think people don't think about long-term effects of stuff like this happening. Like, well, I want a new Walmart. I don't care about the forest. But, you know, one day we might not have enough oxygen for 7 billion people, I think, is what we have on the planet.
Yeah, it's going to be more than that. So.
I remember as a kid, like, I would just see, like, so many, like, I used to have a bunch of forest around me.
Mm-hmm.
And then now I went back at least 8 years later and there's, like...
There's nothing there.
There's nothing.
All right. You're tuned in to 411 Teen. We're looking at animals versus humans. We're going to take a break, but we'll get right back at you. Versus humans. That's the topic for today's discussion, and joining me I have students from Sale High School. I welcome Savannah Burris, Jeremy Adams, Mila Humphreys, and Gavin Dunsby. Animal rights groups wanted chimps to be recognized as legal persons. The Non-Human Rights Project says chimps have such a human-like intelligence that they should be recognized as legal persons, which is a prerequisite for having rights. What do you think?
Ooh.
I completely...
I disagree.
I actually completely agree.
Oh, I agree with that, too.
Okay. I just finished watching a documentary where this woman taught her... I'm pretty sure it was a chimpanzee or... a gorilla. No, it was a gorilla. And she taught it sign language. And she would have, like, conversations with this gorilla. And the gorilla was like, I want a kitten. And it had a pet kitten. And then when the kitten died, it showed, like, the gorilla crying. So it was, like, having human emotions and expressing like a human would.
Mm-hmm. I know groups are also trying to do the same thing for dolphins because they are also so intelligent. And they're actually more human-like than chimpanzees and other apes. They show more human characteristics. Like, they have sex for pleasure, not mating.
Mm-hmm.
Like, okay. That's a very human characteristic that a lot of other animal species do not do. They don't have the instincts for it. And they have been known to have attractions for other, you know, species of dolphins. And, you know, they're just – dolphins and the chimpanzees both are just so smart that I honestly think that they should be classified as non-human people.
Okay. Well, let me hear from the –
So would that mean that in the few years to come that we will see like chimpanzees in like classrooms learning, talking, ABC,
Jeremy said that's too far.
Yeah. I mean, I think chimpanzees are like really smart, but like they're chimpanzees. They're not humans. Or like they shouldn't be classified as people. They should be classified as themselves. And stuff like that.
Well, I wouldn't say they're classified as humans.
Yeah, they're not trying to classify them as humans. Humans is our species. They're trying to classify them as non-human people, meaning that they have the same level of intelligence.
See, they've got, yeah.
And they're not talking about having them in classrooms with us. They're talking about giving them the right to live.
Okay, that's...
Okay.
Well, yeah. Yeah. I don't have a problem.
I do not think that chimpanzees are as intelligent as us because they have not been able to achieve what we have achieved. Also, just from an evolutionary standpoint.
Okay. But that's the thing, is evolutionary standpoint, they have the capability have like to become 90, us.
They share. You humans know, and let me interrupt for a minute. Humans and chimps share 99% of the DNA, of our DNA.
That means that there's just very few genetic differences, and they could, through evolution, they could become just like humans. They have their own language. They have the ability to use tools. Gorillas have been known to start fires before when given the proper equipment. I'm not talking about a lighter. I'm talking about rocks that when hit together create sparks. They have been known to use tools, create fire, learn to communicate with other species, and have their own ability or have their own form of communication.
But it's a stretch. Now, I understand where they're coming from. It's a stretch.
Yeah, I understand that too.
Human rights, because you probably hear the term animal rights. But animals actually do not have rights in the United States or in any other country.
It's just the rights we feel like giving.
Well, they're federal and they're state laws that will punish people for mistreating them or punish people for neglecting animals. But that's not the same thing as having rights. You see what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and that's when the scientists got into looking at the DNA, and then they realized that we really do share 99% of our DNA. How do you feel, given the fact that we do share 99% of DNA, how do you feel about biomedical research using chimps? I admit the National Institute of Health has significantly reduced their use, but how do you feel about that?
I think that I can understand where they're coming from with the want to use chimps, mm-hmm. but there's so much like us that, you know, we don't do human testing for a reason because we don't know how it's going to affect us. And that's why a lot of people like use things like rats first or rabbits uh-huh. because they're still enough like humans that we
can
get the proper
use
results.
Chimps. They're more like humans.
Yeah.
99%, that's
which gives
cool.
them more reason not to
but
do it.
A lot of companies, though, I know that do use animals, they have very strict rules and regulations mm-hmm. on their animals. They have a vet on site that is strictly there to make sure that the animal is healthy and not in any sort of stress because companies before in the past have gotten into so much trouble for mistreating their animals.
Mm-hmm. Yes, indeed.
And I think, honestly, I'm not for cosmetic testing on animals. I think that's just completely stupid, but I can understand the medical reason for testing, you know, mm-hmm. because let's say we find a cure for something in a human, us and chimpanzees and other animals share a lot of the same diseases. Okay. If they find a cure for it in humans, then that means that they also can find a cure for it in other animals, like cancer. Almost every animal on Earth gets cancer.
Yeah.
If they could find a complete cure for cancer by using a chimpanzee, then that's a cure for all animals for cancer.
Okay. You look like you had a comment. I could just look at you and tell.
Well, I think it's okay to help with health reasons for chimps and you're not hurting the animal. But just for, like, as you said, like cosmetic reasons mm-hmm. or other things like that, I don't think the chimpanzee wants to do that.
Yeah, I don't think any animal should be used for cosmetic testing.
Jeremy, where do you sit on this?
I kind of agree, like, to help other people and to, like, find out cures and stuff, and I agree. But, like, if it's just, like, something, like shampoo or, like...
hair dye, makeup.
Yeah. I mean, it's not really needed, and mm-hmm. we already have stuff that's here. So, like, it would be, like, just for our own personal gain and... I don't think it's worth it in the end.
That's why I only support brands.
I have no problem with using chimpanzees for medical experimentation, mm-hmm. like with drugs because of how similar they probably are
mm-hmm.
to us.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think that they should be tested before they're used on the chimpanzees just because of how similar they are, like the pain that it will give them.
That's why they typically test on smaller level animals like rats and bunnies and stuff like that because
–
you know, they just need to know that it's not going to automatically kill something or cause an extreme amount of pain, you know, but they do need to take it up a notch to know if they're, you know, testing what they're trying to test is going to work on humans or if it's just going to be completely useless.
Well, I mean, that's something to think about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And back to the cosmetic testing, there's websites that you can go to that, it will tell you what brands do or do not mm-hmm. test on animals or that's which ones have a history of doing it mm-hmm. but have stopped. And, you know, like one of my favorite brands I know, one of my favorite makeup brands I know have, like, all never tested on animals. Like, they were founded because of somebody else. They worked at another company where they did animal testing and they did not agree with it. So they're like, well, fine, I'm going to go start my own company. And we're not going to do that.
Okay. All right. Yeah, go right ahead.
Why would they test cosmetics on animals anyway?
To know if there's any bad side effects.
Side effects.
Okay. Yeah.
So it's like if they're testing like hair dye or something, they'll like test it on like white rabbits and stuff and mm-hmm. see if it, causes any blisters or hair to fall out or
whatever.
You mm-hmm. know, they test to see if lipsticks and stuff like that are non-toxic. Mm-hmm. So they'll feed it to animals and stuff like that. Sometimes they just put it on them, but a lot of times they feed it because if you're trying to figure out if it's non-toxic, you got to ingest it.
Mm-hmm. Can they not just calculate if it's going to be toxic or not?
Well, if you're using toxic chemicals, it's going to be toxic.
You got to see. But then also they want to see to what degree.
Yeah.
And then they might want to see if there's another chemical that they can add into it that will
make it
reduce the toxicity. So, I mean, there are all kinds of little variables and components.
That's why I agree with human testing. Mm-hmm. Humans know what they're getting into.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're testing on a human, if you're testing cosmetics on a human, a human's going to know what they're getting into. And if you're doing cosmetic testing, they do make you sign waivers acknowledging that there might be dangers to it. And also, you're going to know how it reacts to a human better than an animal because when it comes to cosmetics, humans and animals are completely different.
And also, we're the ones using the product.
Yeah.
That's right.
The bunnies or anything. Yeah. Where, like, I totally want to spend my life being tested on with chemicals.
Wearing makeup every day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, right.
I mean, I'd be fine with being tested for cosmetics, to be honest. Like, me personally, like, okay, give me the money. And, okay, I get a blister from this. I get a rash. Okay, give me the $100. I'll get the rash.
Oh, goodness.
Oh, my goodness.
We were talking about granting non-humans rights, can be a slippery slope. Now, if you think about it, we could say that, okay, these chimps, let's use, are very intelligent, okay? But what if we find some people who are not so smart at all? And then we will have chimps having more rights than humans. And, I mean, and that could be a problem.
It could be,
what do you think?
We already have some people, I'm not going to mention specific presidential candidates, that are dumber than chimps. But,
oh no.
Are we going to do the same, let's say aliens politics. Are discovered. Are we going to, not acknowledge them as intelligent creatures and treat them like cats and dogs?
We might.
Well, also, when you think about it, even some animals have more rights than other animals. Like, cats and dogs,
they have more rights than,
cute animals. What people consider cute.
Mm-hmm. Well, pandas. Oh, did you have something you want to say again? Okay, pandas, they say pandas, tigers, and lions will only, at a certain point, a century from now, will only exist in zoos. We aren't going to see them anyplace else, okay? And 20 to 50% of all living species, from plants to mammals, may be headed for oblivion. Mass extinction, you know who's causing it.
Mm-hmm.
It's caused by human beings.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
that's the big issue.
It's the worst thing, but it's to the point now where our generation, the generation that can do something, it's almost too late for us to do it. And by the time we'll have any say in what happens, it will be too late.
Well, most scientists that are witnessing this new, what they call mass extinction, say, look at what we're doing. So we cut down the trees and we burn fuels like coal and fossil fuel. What does that do? That builds up the carbon dioxide in the atmosphere. And all these other gases, what does that do? It makes the atmosphere warmer, mm-hmm. right? Okay, so with these changing temperatures, different species have to adapt. Okay, mm-hmm. they aren't used to, of course, climate change doesn't exist, but anyhow, yeah. with these changing temperatures, different species have to adapt or die. Mm-hmm. You know, if they can't adapt, they die or try to move to a cooler climate or whatever the case may be.
Or you have species that, mm-hmm. or you have mm-hmm. species that, like their habitat, like polar bears and mm-hmm. penguins, their habitat is mostly ice. You mm-hmm. know, or Iceland and stuff. And so if they live mostly off, like during the summer season, they live mostly off of what ice they can reach. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I've seen plenty of documentaries about polar bears. Yeah. And just on the other day was the Planet Life episode about the polar bear that swam for 3 days and finally died because it couldn't reach land. It swam into the ocean trying to search for food. It found an iceberg with a bunch of walruses on it, but it couldn't kill any of them, and so it died because there was no way for it to get back to land and get food.
Well, actually, I think what a lot of people don't know, which I didn't know, honestly, until at least a few months ago, the main cause of the warming climate is the meat industry.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Cows produce methane, and there's right. so many cows. It's like unnatural mm-hmm. how many cows.
It is actually
have.
Unnatural.
Mm-hmm. And
yeah.
we're not supposed to be consuming. Americans are consuming too much
Way
meat.
Way too
like,
much meat.
Yeah.
And some doesn't even get like
Most of it doesn't even get consumed.
Right.
Like especially
That's
the most expensive cuts of meat, most of them go bad in the grocery store because people can't afford it. Mm-hmm. So for the amount of meat that we actually consume versus the amount that we produced, we are overdoing it and Yeah.
It's also the cause of decrease in, like, water. Like, I heard, I don't know if this is the exact number, about mm-hmm. 400 gallons of water to make one burger.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Just one
it's
burger.
It's about something like that. But that's another thing that we could get into for animal rights. But the cows and how they're, like, they're the industrialization of the farms and cattle in specific, how they're being treated. If we're talking about animal rights, we need to look at one of our very basic things, our cattle. Yeah. They are most of the time kept chest
and chickens
deep.
Too.
Yeah, and chickens and
cattle,
pigs.
Chickens.
And
chickens.
Animal.
Worse.
It's just, it's mostly the cows is the thing. It's because
well, chickens
is
are
like
pretty
our
bad
favorite.
Too. Yeah.
Yes.
Chickens are pretty bad.
They can scare the
but
farmers.
Right.
But our cattle are kept chest deep sometimes mm-hmm. in filth.
Mm-hmm.
And then what we do is we go and we just wash that away and all that pollution, it washes into the river and that pollutes our water systems, that pollutes everything that's in there and it's killing so much of our ecosystem because of that. And then it washes out into the ocean, which is killing that. And
yeah, but some people believe that that doesn't happen, that that doesn't exist.
Yeah, they think it's not real.
It's not real. I mean,
they
really.
Can't, they don't see it.
Because here we are, we're the choir, okay?
Yeah.
You know? But a lot of people believe, I mean, even here in the state of Florida, you know, I mean, our governor doesn't believe that stuff.
Which is unfortunate.
I mean, he doesn't believe in climate change.
It's uneducated people. Who says that it's a – who decided that it was a politician's job to do the job of a scientist? Who
guess,
decided
I
that?
I don't know.
I think they'll understand when Florida is underwater in 20 years.
Yeah.
Maybe
that's
that'll be enough of a
happen.
Shock.
Well, I got something real quick to say. There's the recent demise of a frog, and this frog is – and other brightly colored amphibians in Central America is part of what they call the sixth extinction. So frogs and toads are the most threatened animals now, okay? Nearly 40% of them are endangered, and people are changing the world so fast that many of the species can't keep up, and we are out of time. So I do want to say thank you to students from SAIL, To my listening audience, thanks for tuning in, and tune in next week, same time, same place, to get the 411 on 411 Team. This edition of 411 Team was produced by Dr. Liz Hollifield. Technical assistant, Ken Smith. Audio copies are available, and if you want to participate in 411 Team or have suggestions for discussion topics, call 1-800-829-8809, extension 358. If you would like to subscribe to 411 Team podcast, log in wfsu.org. Check us out on Facebook.